I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Into the happy hour we roll. It has been a fun day so far. Myself.
A fun Friday.
Fun Friday so far. Myself. Chris Ello has jumped on and off throughout the course of the show. 5 o'clock hour, we usually reset things, and obviously the big story today, Brooklyn Net point guard Kyrie Irving requesting a trade. It sounds like, Scrabe, he wanted an extension. The Brooklyn Nets have been slow in terms of getting that extension done. I'm not so sure that it's clear that they don't want to do an extension. They just weren't in a hurry to do one at this point.
I mean, understandably.
Right. And at this point, Kyrie is of the mindset, I'm walking if I get to free agency. So he's putting the pressure on the Nets to make a move now where you can get something for him versus the clock running out, the end of the season happening, and now he's walking away in free agency for nothing.
He's put the Nets in a terrible spot, especially after the Nets have stuck up for him for this entire time that he's been with the team, because no team is going to give them full value for Kyrie knowing that he has put this ultimatum down.
Well, the good thing for
Kyrie... And what team is going to get a guy who doesn't have a contract past this offseason?
Oh, there's one I can think of in particular in the Los Angeles Lakers, as we talked about earlier in the show.
Yes, I forgot.
Russell Westbrook's $43 million contract comes off the books.
Yes, it does.
So, you know, in basketball, unlike some of the other sports, when you make a trade, you kind of have to match up existing contracts so that... I think you can be within $100,000 of whatever the total value is. So you have to try to match up the contracts.
The values.
And so Kyrie, 1 year left, high value. Russell Westbrook, 1 year, high value. They match. Now, that's not to say that there's going to get something done, but certainly Kyrie has. And the interesting thing was things have really settled down. Kyrie has actually come back. Been locked in on basketball. There had been some success prior to Kevin Durant getting hurt. They're expecting him back either right before the break, right after the break. When they were together, I think they had ran off something like 10 straight at some point during this year. So it's an interesting timing, not only because things are quiet, seem to be going well. You don't once KD comes back, remember that these two were like a tandem. They like talk to each other. They're
like friends.
You wonder where this leaves Kevin Durant at this point.
I would think that Kevin Durant knew about this. I would hope that Kevin Durant knew that this news was going to come out today, because Kevin Durant is a guy who's on social media a lot, and so he would find out very quickly that Kyrie asked for a trade. The only thing is, like, what team wants to deal with Kyrie and the stuff that comes along with Kyrie?
I can tell you right now.
The Lakers, like, LeBron's going to stand for this nonsense sometimes that comes into the locker room?
I don't know that there's any nonsense left that Kyrie is going to, that there is to. I mean, yeah, things pop up. Kyrie's certainly an individual that is very strong-minded in his thoughts. But I don't know that that's what you would be getting coming to L.A. He clearly has signaled, even in the last game where the Lakers played Brooklyn, that there is a maturing that has taken place from the time they were teammates and he asked to be traded out of Cleveland when LeBron was there.
Thing.
to till now. And I think he realizes through some of the trials he's gone through, that he had a pretty good partner to work with prior to leaving Cleveland. So I do think there's an element of that. I don't think there's any question LeBron wants it to happen. I mean, based on what we read, I mean, actually, there's no real way to know, but based on everything everybody says, he certainly would like this to happen. Now, from my standpoint, it'd be sad to see Russell Westbrook go. I know he has taken a lot of flack, but.
And you've stood by him.
I think that he's played well this year, although he had a rough night last night, I think 2 for 16 shooting.
Yeah, that's rough.
but he did have 10 assists. 10 points.
So he's doing something.
He's doing, he had a great defensive play at the end. That's not the point. The point is it would be sad to see him go from my standpoint.
Your Russell Westbrook is my Alex Smith. I stood on the top of the mountain screaming, Alex Smith will be great one day. Alex Smith is a good quarterback. And I think he proved that he's a good quarterback.
He was. Of course,
he just didn't have a chance in San Francisco.
Of course, Russell Westbrook is like a perennial.
That's also
all-star
true. No, you're right.
Who has at least in that LA uniform has not seemed the same guy, and quite frankly hasn't been asked to do the same type of things. But that's the one big story: Kyrie Irving asking to be traded. AJ Preller, as we discussed earlier, sat down with Buster Olney during the podcast. He made some news. He said that the team, the organization, and Manny Machado expect to sit down in the next few weeks. We played it for you earlier. Here it is again.
The conversation has been mainly that, you know, we'll look at this here in the next couple weeks and months going into the season. And Manny knows what we think about him. He's been a huge part of obviously what we've done here. You know, his signing, you know, 4 years ago, kind of spearheading the team, getting back into the playoffs a couple times here in the last few years. He's, you know, coming off another MVP type season. We want him here with the Padres. We want him here a long time, but he's under contract. So it's more of Manny's decision, honestly, you know, kind of how this plays out with the opt out at the end of the season. So I think what we've tried to do is just make it known that, you know, we value and appreciate him. We're going to listen to what he wants to say, and then we'll kind of figure out what's best for everybody here going forward.
AJ Preller, head of baseball operations, GM,
yeah.
Whatever you,
it's King hard, of the universe.
Yeah, basically, it's hard to know exactly
universe.
What the title is, but that is some news. I guess they're going to sit down and have a conversation.
Do you? I don't know that I expect anything to come from this, honestly. But do you think? I mean, Manny has to wait until this season is over to make the decision. He cannot make a decision before. I mean, he can because it's his choice, but. It wouldn't be the right thing for him, I don't think. And I don't know, because I've never had this decision before, but I don't know that you can make a decision either way right now.
I don't know that Manny is the type of person that... I mean, he's certainly going to make the best decision that he possibly can for himself. And it would seem that that would be to opt out and try to mess. But the Padres could take the ball and run with it and throw him an offer that is
and blow him away.
Blow him away. I mean, that's certainly within the realm.
Dennis Lynn's fan survey, they said, remember when we were talking about the question of
Juan Soto
and
yeah.
Manny Machado, who would you, if one goes and if you keep one
believe,
and the other has to go.
I believe you and Chris took Mr. Soto.
We did, and we were wrong because Manny Machado, he is the Padres right now, and so I understand that. Same with, but they do expect Manny Machado, the fan survey, expects him to be back in a Padres uniform, but they do not expect Juan Soto to be back in a Padres uniform.
Interesting. Listen, it's you guys. I've said it many times how I feel about Juan Soto.
You love him.
I think he's great.
He's
spectacular. In terms of the fans, they didn't get to see that version of Juan. You know what I'm saying? So you can understand the hesitation.
Yeah.
And they've seen what Manny has done. What
the last four years
he's been in a Padre uniform. It's not a hard choice from a fan standpoint.
Not a hard choice at all.
At all. And so, I don't know. You get a chance to – those are the type of – those are good decisions to be hanging over your head, for sure.
Yeah, and A.J. Preller is and the Padres are very smart. They're going to do what they need to do to make Manny feel loved and welcome by the franchise. I mean, it's going to be like a season – I don't know. Is this how it works? Is it a season-long courting process for the Padres?
I don't know that you're courting. At this point, Danny knows what the organization's about. There's nothing new that they're going to be able to pull out, you know?
What if they got, like, a cotton candy machine?
I mean, that goes a long way.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on how Manny feels about cotton candy.
Yeah, I don't know.
If
I
he doesn't like cotton candy, that might be a step backwards. You know what I'm saying?
That would be. Then, okay, caramel corn.
Maybe. Whatever, popcorn. Whatever his likes are, I suggest you get those done.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Especially those little trinkets like a cotton candy machine or, you know, things like that.
Like maybe an NBA Jam arcade machine in the clubhouse. That would be sweet.
I'm just saying. Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. Iggy Rosario will miss spring training in half of the season. Broken ankle. I didn't see this story until I rolled in earlier today. It hurts the depth, right? I mean, he's a guy who came up and was able to contribute in a depth spot, but I don't know that it's necessarily, you know, moves the needle in terms of how good they are. I don't think it moves the needle at all, quite frankly, but it is something to know. And it seems like, and in another news, it seems like Tony Romo's taking some heat. It's great.
Man, he is just being thrown under the bus every which way. Have you seen all this news about him and how he's not studying anymore? And
we talked a little bit about it yesterday.
We did.
Yeah, again, I think it's a whole lot about nothing.
I don't know why.
I've listened to him a lot, and I don't know if I've ever felt like he wasn't studying. Like, it certainly isn't bleeding through the screen.
No, not to me either. And it honestly sounds like a lot of these people are just jealous.
It really does.
Because they're all, like, media people that are saying these things about Tony Romo, which is very strange. Like, if fans say it,
I wonder, has he been not mistreating people right? Because this doesn't make any sense to me. Because maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Chris and I are both off base on this. But I think Tony Romo's pretty good. I mean, I'm not saying he's the best, but I think he's pretty good.
Yeah, Colin Cowherd today, he said his addiction to golf is the problem for Tony Romo.
Oh, Colin's in on this now, huh?
Oh, of course. I mean, we got to have Colin's opinion on this. And it's got to be interesting, which is he's playing too much golf to be studying.
Man, can't do both, man.
I don't know, Jim!
You did that yesterday, and it was kind of freaky. I was like, you know, it sounds like the crazy version of Tony Romo.
Yeah,
but
it does.
Exaggerated, but it's pretty damn good, I must say.
I think he's good. I don't think he's, like, terrible. Well, we talked about it yesterday.
What do you think about Greg Olsen? You don't like him either.
No, you asked me a year ago, because Chris was, like, out of the gate, Greg Olsen is the best guy on the TV analyst side, and I know what I'm talking about, Screamy.
Here you go taking a shot at Chris. He ain't even here to defend himself today.
This is why I'm a broadcaster of 30 years, and you're not. This is what he said a year ago. He totally said that.
You are adding extras to a lot of stuff today.
No, I swear to you he said that. But over the last season, watched Greg Olsen a lot because, you know, they called the 49ers a lot. And I do like him. I think I was being too hard. I think Chris made me want to hate him in the beginning.
I can see that. I can see you doing it just to be petty.
But he speaking of contracts of TV analysts, I mean, Tom Brady is probably
where does Olsen end up? Because if Tom Brady's coming,
he's either Fox number two, or he has a provision I saw that if a number one job opens up, then he can take that job and get out of his Fox contract, which is smart. But I don't know where he would. Could he take over Thursday Night Football, like, for Herb Street?
Does he want that?
With Al Michaels, one game a week? He's already doing one game a week.
I'm just saying, it's Amazon Prime.
Amazon has all the money, though. They'll pay you.
That's true.
They don't care.
I guess go where the money's greenest.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm even saying that. Yeah, Amazon's got plenty of money. I believe Jeff Bezos just walks around and throws money at people as he's walking around.
So. He certainly has enough to do that if he chose to do that. All right, let's step away. When we come back, we got some over-under win totals. Plus, I know people know the schedule for Major League Baseball is changing, but there are some fun quirks in it this year. Completely revamped schedule in Major League Baseball. We'll talk about it next. More Gwen and Chris on the way.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
The Major League Baseball season gets closer and closer and closer. Spring training, to be specific. Padres' first game will be February 24th. Taking on the Mariners.
That's crazy.
Yeah, no, it's
that's literally, I think, 3 weeks from
today. It's speeding towards us right now, and that's a good thing. Some changes in baseball this year. We talked a lot about the rule change and all. Listen to you bringing in, Oregon.
I love it. The Oregon. I love it.
It's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing.
Some changes we haven't talked about. I think it's just we've talked about it a little bit, but the schedule completely changes. Gone are the days of the 76 games versus your own division. That computes about 19 games per team that you're playing gets in your division. No longer.
But doesn't that mean you're going to travel more?
Yes.
You're going to travel further.
You're going to travel more. You're going to travel further in some instances. I have those some of those quirky numbers for you here.
Oh, okay.
Shortly. But now the number has been chopped to 13 games against each division, spread out over four series, two home series, two road series, rinse and repeat. The other thing that has changed, and it's probably, I guess the one thing that hasn't really changed much, is how much you'll face your other the other opponents outside of your division in the same league.
Okay.
So Padres facing the Central and East, not much of a change there. You're going to face those usually one time at home, one time on the road. That's not going to change. The major change, however, is obviously interleague play. Gone are the days where you are trapped against whatever division it is that day. So it would rotate. It'd be the NL West versus the AL West, and it would rotate Central, East, so on and so forth. That is no longer the case. You're going to get a much, much more interleague play.
And I love this.
And this is the best part about it. One of the things that makes the NBA so successful is they market their stars on a national, from a national standpoint, right?
Yeah.
You know who Morant is in California. You know who
Steph Curry is in North Carolina.
100%. They do it nationally. And I think this is where the Major League Baseball is gone, right? This isn't 1968 anymore. This isn't 1998 anymore, as Jason Starks put in his athletic article. The idea is really to lean on your stars a little bit more. And so now, a guy like Mike Trout, he can be seen in a National League park like Chicago.
Yeah, the Cubs.
Don't very rarely get to see him.
Or like Cincinnati.
And those folks in Anaheim, you know, who don't get to see said star. Well, they got to see a lot of Dansby Swanson, but now he's a Cub. You'll get a chance to see him in Anaheim. If you don't see him this year, you get to see him next year because it will alternate. If a team doesn't come to you one year, the following year, one of those American League teams will come to your National League city.
Like the Padres are playing the Yankees in New York this year, and so next year the Yankees will be coming into San Diego, correct?
Correct.
I always think about your son, Trey, when you're talking about this stuff, because you said he's a big Bengals fan. He also likes DK Metcalf, I believe.
Yep.
So football's obviously different, but if you translate this to baseball, this would be awesome for Trey, because he's able to get to see the guys that he wants to see.
100%. Now, let's talk about that air mileage, right?
Mm.
Because there is some serious teams that got hit over the head, including your San Diego Padres. The biggest increase in air mileage this year from last year will be the Giants.
Oof.
They'll go increase about 11,000 more miles.
That's a lot of miles.
From 35,027 to 46,1100.
Well,
excuse me, 111.
All the coasts should get hammered by this.
And
that's why I say should.
second on that list, not on the coast, the St. Louis Cardinals.
I have no idea how this is possible.
8,752 miles increase from the year before.
They're in the best spot in the country for traveling.
The top, what is this, 9 teams in the list. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 are on the West Coast, I would consider, right? The Padres being the 7th team in there, they'll increase about 5,748 miles. The Dodgers also will increase at the bottom at 9 with 5,000 miles. Now, some of the teams on the flip side of that, right? Tigers, they'll decrease their mileage 7,000 miles, 578. That is the most in decrease. Rangers, Brewers, Mets follow that, but Tigers are about 3,000-mile decrease from the Rangers, who are second most.
Well, I guess that next year, then, the Giants shouldn't be on the biggest increase list because they're going to be at home for those games that they flew to this year.
Right. The Phillies make twice as many visits to the Pacific time zone as
Good.
The Mets.
Good.
The Mets will take only 2 trips to the Pacific time zone all season. An April spin through Oakland, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and a July journey to Arizona and San Diego. That's the fewest trips from west of any team in the National League East or AL East.
Who broke this down?
You know who did.
Jason Starks.
Here's what he has on the Padres. The Padres, meanwhile, will make only 4 trips to Eastern time zone, the fewest of any West Coast
teams. Oh, you like that.
I do indeed. I do indeed. But yeah, that's one of the some of the cool things that you got going in terms of the schedule this year. Padres will go to, I believe, New York this year.
Yep.
Boston comes here.
I believe so. It wasn't on my top five series I wanted to see, like, because it was away. I believe the Yankees is the one.
I get to check off that Yankee box. I haven't been to that stadium.
You haven't been to the new Yankee Stadium?
No, I haven't.
You obviously went to the old one. Did you ever play in the old one?
No.
When did the new one happen? Because it was there in 1998, the old one.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I guess maybe that stadium's a lot older than I thought it was. I also thought it was funny that the Cardinals are going to fly 10,000 more miles than the Brewers. That seems very weird to me. Very weird to me.
Hang with them. See, the Yankees will play as many games in April against the Twins as the AL East will. And the Giants, Phillies, and Padres will visit Yankee Stadium before the Red Sox make their first stop on June 9th. So,
I don't want to be the schedule builder.
Seems like a difficult task, doesn't it?
Seems really difficult. And it was, I believe we've talked about this before, it was some couple for a while, right? And they were doing it, and now it's like a computer algorithm.
Like yeah, you know, we've all moved on to algorithms. No more human.
Of course.
No more human stuff there.
Of course.
What is it? Wins and losses.
Yeah, well, just wins. The over-underline for wins of baseball teams. The odds are out, and I went through and got some of the teams that we would be interested in. I got the whole NL West. We're going to start with the Padres. 93.5. We know that. You and Chris said higher.
Yeah.
I said higher, too. I feel like maybe 93, but I'm going to go higher.
93 is a good number. You think about it. This team won 89 games last year. Mm-hmm. So that's a four-win increase. Certainly room. I think there's room for more there.
Yeah.
But 93 is a good win total.
Dodgers are still up further than the Padres. 96.5 wins for the Dodgers. I know they're the Dodgers. I know they're good. But they didn't do enough in the offseason.
But they had a whole bunch, though, dude.
They did have a whole bunch.
They had a whole bunch.
95 don't make wins is still a lot.
It is. I'm not. Listen, 96 seems high for me. I think they're probably should be around 93, 94 as well, right? But don't make the mistake to think this team is just going to
roll over.
Be sorry.
No, I'm not going to make that mistake because they've won the division like every year for a long time. So the Diamondbacks are 74.5 wins on the year. I guess that's about right, but they did make in the 70s.
They won 74. And what's their number?
74.5. So they're predicting that they'll win the same amount. I don't know. I like the Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks always play well.
I think Diamondbacks will be a better team than 74 wins.
Me too. The Giants, 81.5 wins, so basically 500. I can't. You think that. I'm going to go with you then because I don't know what they've got going on. But
would they finish that last year?
Not
500. 81
oh, they
and
did.
81.
Yes.
I don't know that the division got stiffer. Maybe it did, right? I mean, the Diamondbacks are better. Rockies aren't.
We'll get to the
Padres
Rockies
are
in just
better.
A second.
Dodgers aren't
but
better
Dodgers
than they were last year.
Better than,
right, but I'm saying yeah. They're not as good as they were last year.
Well, the Giants are still sticking with Brandon Crawford. They were trying to replace that with Carlos Correa, but they're not getting any younger. They lost Brandon Belt, which he was pretty old, but he was their everyday first baseman or DH or something like that. I just feel like the Giants are in for a hurting. They lost Aaron Judge. So
they lost Rodon.
Rodon, correct. They still have Logan Webb. They still have some of those guys, but
I'm going to say lower. I've convinced you. Yeah, you have.
All right,
yeah,
good.
I'm going to say lower.
The Rockies, though, Mr. Monfort said that they were going to be at least 500, but
they won 68 games last year.
They won 68 games?
Yes.
Well, they're going to be expected to win less games, 65.5 for the Rockies.
I can see that being lower, too, but I'll give you 65.
All right.
I'll say I agree with that.
I'm just going to say for spite reasons, they're going to win like 58 games. That's like a record. I don't know what the record is.
Winning 58, winning 65.
Doesn't matter.
I don't think it matters. Except in the draft. That's it.
That's exactly right. Phillies, 89.5 games, so four games below the Padres. Phillies made a splash. Trey Turner. I'm going to say they go over just because of they added to the team.
What was their number?
89 and a half.
89.
And they made it to the World Series.
I can see that. I can see 89 and a half. I can see more than that, actually. I would say, well, let me see what they won last year. They won, of course, this is already rebooted for 2023 already.
You have to hit the drop down, and it's all bad.
I don't have time to do
all that. That's all bad.
I feel like 89 is
too low.
I think it's low.
Yeah, me too.
I think that's low. I'm going to say that they'll win more than 89 games.
The Yankees and Mets are both 94 and a half games. Mets won 100 games last year. Yankees won in the upper 90s last year.
Let's go slow here. 94 for the Mets?
Yeah, 94 and a half for the Mets. I would expect them
Athletic is telling me the Dodgers are better than the Mets?
The odds are telling you that, yeah. Odds makers are saying that to you.
I don't buy that.
You don't buy it at all?
I don't buy that. I would flip-flop those. I think
probably.
The Dodgers should be at 94.
And the Mets should be at 96 and a half.
Yeah.
What about the Yankees, 94 and a half?
That's about right.
Yeah, they kept their guy, so. St. Louis Cardinals, 88 and a half.
I see that going up.
Me too. They're always there.
I think that division is pretty weak.
It was last
year. Brewers, I don't think the Brewers got any better.
The Reds, they Will Myers?
I don't know about the Reds getting that much better.
The Pirates? Are they Pirates in the Central?
Definitely yeah. Didn't get better. I mean, they got cuts back, but.
And then the Cubs. Cubs got better.
Cubs got better.
So it's going to be a Cubs-Cardinals division.
That's odd. Cubs-Cardinals, Cubs-Brewers, Cardinals-Brewers. Like it's usually
never
those
the
three.
Reds.
It's usually those three.
It's never the Reds or the Pirates. Let's see. Yeah. Mariners 86 and a half, Brewers 86 and a half.
Where are the Astros at?
Oh, the Astros were like 97 and a half.
That's about right.
Yeah.
I think the Mariners could be a little bit more. I think their team is going to be sneaky good again. I don't know if they can really be sneaky good anymore. They got to the playoffs last year, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll
no
see.
No more sneakiness.
Yeah. All right, let's get to break. When we come back, our interview of the week follows. More Gwen and Chris on the way.
Heading towards the end of the show here on Gwen and Chris, I'm Scraby. Tony just stepped out of the room for 1 second. I don't think he knew that the commercial break was going to be over soon. But anyway, he will be at FanFest tomorrow signing autographs, and so will 97.3 The Fan. We are going to be at FanFest from 11 till 4 tomorrow. So Coach and Braden get the broadcast started at 11 a.m. They'll go to 1 p.m., then Ben and Woods 1 to 3, and then I will wrap up the FanFest broadcast from 3 to 4. So as you're driving into FanFest, you can listen to us. As you're driving out of FanFest, you can listen to us. And there's a lot of different people that are going to be stopping by and talking with all of us tomorrow. So I know that Bob Melvin's going to stop by. I know that there is a player that's going to stop by. So FanFest is going to be really fun tomorrow. Hope to see you all out there. And, I saw another tweet, actually. It was 120,000 tickets that were sold. But still, the demand for these tickets are outrageous, and I love it. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of energy in the ballpark tomorrow. So hope to see you all out there. But until then, we are going to do our interview of the week, and that was ESPN's Aldon Gonzalez. He's a very good writer for ESPN, and he joined us earlier to talk about spring training storylines. He also talked to us a little bit about Trevor Bauer, and then he has a story on the 2022 Polaroid book that the Padres did. I forgot the word Polaroid for a second, but he will talk about all of that in just a second. But first, let's check on your traffic report.
Back at it again, and it is now time for our premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline guest, Aldon Gonzalez, ESPN. You guys gotten to know Aldon a little bit. He's been on our show quite a few times over the winter, but that's coming to an end. Spring training right around the corner, Aldon, and are you ready, man? Has it come quick?
I don't know about you guys, but spring training really, really caught up to me. it's about a week away now. I'm wondering where the offseason went. Maybe it's because of all the news that we had and how quickly these free agents signed and how crazy December was. But I can't believe it, but we're just a little over a week away from spring training. I'm kind of not ready, but but I think I'll get there.
I think I'm in the same boat as you. I'm kind of not ready. I'll definitely get there. you bring up a good point. This offseason felt different than many off seasons in recent history. A lot of activity, a lot of movement. My guess is it has something to do with this fresh new collective bargaining agreement. But it does set up for some pretty cool storylines going into spring training. What are some of the ones you're looking at?
Oh, there's several. I will tell you, speaking specifically about spring training, what I'm really going to be interested to see is just how teams are adjusting for all the new rules that we're going to see this season.
Yeah.
The pitch clock, how pitchers and hitters are adjusting to that. I think, personally, I don't know how you feel, Tony, but I think it's going to be probably an even bigger adjustment for the hitters than it is going to be for the pitchers.
Yeah.
And also just how teams are utilizing these shift restrictions. I mean, we kept wondering about whether you're going to see outfielders just sort of shade very differently to just sort of still shift on guys when you can't do it with your infielders. Maybe we'll get a glimpse as to how the bigger bases, the pickoff limits are going to influence the running game. I'm hoping to see a lot more attempted steals this coming season. So that's the big one to me. But from a transactional standpoint, I'm really going to be interested in the Brian Reynolds situation.
Yes.
The Pirates have been, apparently they've had a really high asking price for Brian Reynolds, as they should, because they could still trade him at the trade deadline, and they'll still get a really good return on him. But he has made it known that he wants to be traded. And I think it's very interesting, too, because you look at the teams that could really use a Brian Reynolds. The Dodgers are certainly one of them. They have a really big hole in center field right now. He'd be perfect for them. Look at the Yankees. They have a big hole in left field. He would be perfect for them, too. Others would certainly be in the mix. I'd be curious about that one. The other one for me, guys, is just guys fitting into teams. One of them for me is Jacob DeGrom. How does he look? We know how electric he can be when he's right. He's the best pitcher in baseball, I think, when he's right. Is he going to be that for the Texas Rangers? And then the other one hits close to home for you, Tony, and that's Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yeah.
How does he look? Where are they playing him? What do teammates have to say about him? What's the vibe around him? How they feel about him? How he's feeling about the whole situation? That's going to be a fascinating storyline, obviously, not just this spring, but moving forward.
Yeah, Alden, we are looking forward to seeing what Fernando Tatis Jr. does here in San Diego, just because, like, he's endeared to the city. People love him here in San Diego, and so I think a lot of people are willing to give him a second shot, and same with his teammates. But up there in L.A., the Dodgers said that they were unanimously they decided to cut Trevor Bauer from the team. And there's so much baggage there that it's just, in my opinion, it's hard for a team to take a chance on him right now. Do you think he finds a team this season, or do you think he pitches at all this season?
I don't know. That's a tough one, and it's a question that basically everybody is wondering right now, including people in front offices, about whether anybody's going to take a chance.
Yeah.
I will say this. I'm never going to say no. I'm not going to say there's no chance, because all it takes, obviously, is just one team to take a chance. And look, I mean, you look around the landscape of this offseason and how expensive free agents were, where those contracts got, how valuable starting pitchers are. And I'm sure as soon as he got released by the Dodgers, as soon as he got DFA'd, there were a ton of front offices throughout the sport who were wondering about the merits of signing a pitcher who, if he goes back to who he was a year and a half ago, which is obviously not, it's not a sure thing,
right,
but it's certainly attainable, that you could get for the major league minimum. Front offices are so hyper-focused on efficiency these days. That's got to be a tantalizing thought for anybody. But this is the point that I've been making about Trevor Bauer. At the end of the day, signing Trevor Bauer is going to be an ownership-level decision.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to sell your fan base on the merits of acquiring somebody who was suspended longer than anybody in the history of the domestic violence policy. And I will tell you, throughout the history of the sport, there are very few active players who have been suspended longer than 162 games. But not only are you going to have to do that, you're going to have to overcome that last hurdle with Trevor Bauer, which is that up until this point, or at least up until the point when the Dodgers designated him for assignment, he is somebody who not only faced this suspension, but has had no contrition whatsoever in the wake of that suspension. And I think that ultimately, even though, like I said before, I think front offices talked about it a ton, it's a very big hurdle to clear at the end of the day. To get to that final stage, and he's still not showing any contrition for any of the things that he's been accused of, that's a tough one.
Yeah, that's certainly an ownership decision. And in today's day and age where everybody's voice can be heard, that is a tough, tough climb for any team, I think, to get yep. over in terms of that contrition part. You did kind of lead me to the next biggest question. It's across the street, really, there from Los Angeles, the Angels. Now, this situation is different because obviously Shohei Ohtani is the prize jewel that everybody's talking about come next offseason, maybe even at the deadline. I doubt it, but it could be. But all of a sudden, Artie Moreno has decided not to sell the team. First,
yeah.
do you think that helps or hurts the chances of Shohei Ohtani returning as an Angel?
You know, I don't know. I wish I could answer that question for you because it's a question that a lot of people have, and I don't know.
Okay.
Because Shohei Ohtani has rarely sort of let us into just what kind of things he's looking for, the types of things that he values. I will say this. I don't know his relationship with Artie Moreno. What I do know about Shohei Ohtani is that he wants to win. He wants to go somewhere where he can be proven to be on a team that's going to consistently win. Under Artie Moreno, at least over these last, basically, the Angels have not won. The Angels have employed Mike Trout. For many of those years, they've employed Mike Trout at a very, very, very reasonable cost.
Yeah, yeah.
And haven't been able to do any winning around him. They had Shohei Ohtani for the vast majority of his time here. Actually, each of these last 5 years, they've employed him at a very, very reasonable cost. They haven't been able to do any winning. While they haven't done any winning, they also haven't developed players in their farm system.
No.
So they've actually gotten nowhere over these last 10-plus years. And I'm sure Shohei Ohtani looks around. He's a really smart guy, very inquisitive, and wonders what the long-term future of the Angels are. And the problem with the Angels has been not that they under Artie Moreno's ownership, especially in these last 10 years, they haven't invested enough in infrastructure, in coaches, in their development. And then on the other side of that, if you're not getting guys coming through your pipeline, you have to overspend in free agency if you want to contend. They haven't done that either. They haven't been willing to exceed the luxury tax threshold to do what's needed to plug a ton of holes on their 40-man roster. So I will say, does it help or hurt? I think it's only going to help if Artie Moreno shows bigger commitment in investing in the product, both the players, but also all the infrastructure to make the Angels a winning organization, and then sell Shohei Ohtani on that. Anything short of that, and it's going to hurt their chances.
We're talking to Alden Gonzalez from ESPN here on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline. I saw a funny stat about Mike Trout over the weekend. He's been to more Eagles playoff games than he's played in himself. So I got to wonder about Mike Trout. He's locked up. I mean, he's getting paid a lot of money to be there in with the Angels. But what do you think? When is he ever going to be a guy who's going to try to get out? Because he seems like he's just a team guy. He stays the course. But I got to think, it hasn't been since 2014 since he's been in the playoffs. I got to think he wants to get back there.
You know, one of the great things about Mike Trout, and I think it's something that's helped him out in his life, is that he is an eternal optimist. Mm-hmm. And every spring he shows up. And I think he genuinely believes that the Angels can win that year. And I'm sure that he's going to show up this spring, and he is going to believe that the Angels are going to win. He's going to see what they did in the offseason, signing Tyler Anderson and acquiring Hunter Renfro and Gio Urshela. And I truthfully think they did a nice job of at least creating more depth in the 40-man roster, which is what they needed to do. They didn't make huge splashes, but they made a lot of moves that gave them, frankly, more major league quality players on their roster. And he's going to believe that they can win. Will he ever be the type of guy to ask out and demand a trade? Everything I've ever heard about him from people around him indicates that that's just not who he is. And that's just not his personality. And if he ever did do that one day, it honestly would surprise me. I think he's happy there. I think he's happy living by the beach and playing in a, with a franchise that, although they're not rebuilding, they're still not sort of in the spotlight all the time, and he could just sort of hide a little bit there, and then just going back to his home in New Jersey in the offseason. I think he's happy with his life. Would he want? Does he want to win? Absolutely. Yeah. Does he want to be in the playoffs? Absolutely. Is it to the point where he's getting incredibly frustrated and he wants to go somewhere else and he doesn't want to waste away his career in Anaheim? I don't think that's where we're at.
Yeah, I agree. I don't see him being one of those guys that's going to push his way out.
He's going to be the greatest baseball player to ever play three playoff games.
In some ways, he reminds me of my father a little bit in terms of
interesting.
Just being loyal and wanting to be in the place that he's at. I got to ask you one last Padre question before we get out of here. I know early in the offseason you wrote about the Padres. I would call it a good problem to have with Soto coming up on free agency and Manny having the ability to opt out. It seems to me that out of all of the Boris clients, Soto seems to play things pretty close to the vest. Like he doesn't really lead any which way. What are the percentages do you think Soto can stay here in San Diego?
You know, if I had to more of a guess at this point,
yeah.
But if I had to pick one player among their superstar players to not be, and Padres fans are going to hate me for this, but one superstar player to not be there 3 years from now, we're talking about, obviously, Xander Bogaerts not going anywhere. He just signed an 11-year contract. But between Xander, between Manny Machado, who, as you said, can opt out of his contract, and Fernando Tatis Jr., who, hey, you know what? Maybe he could be traded. You know, we've talked about that before. And Juan Soto, I would think Juan Soto is the least likely to stay. Mm. Now, obviously, it's totally possible that all four of them are there. I'm not trying to eliminate that possibility. But I think Juan Soto, being as young as he is and on the trajectory that he's on, and look, he had a down year last year. He still had a really, really good year, especially relative to his age.
Yeah, yeah.
We forget that. We forget how young he is. The type of money that he can command 2 years from now, and I think, obviously, who his agent is, I think Scott Boras sees him as another client who could redefine free agency. That's the guy that I think at the very least will test free agency. I mean, look at the contract he turned down with the Washington Nationals.
Was it $450?
Right? This is a man who knows his work.
Once again, thank you to Aldin Gonzalez for coming on and spending some time with us. That's going to do it for this week. We'll catch you Monday, and guess what? We get to finally start talking real Super Bowl stuff. So you guys, have a good night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.